Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Weightless with Dr. Carol Penn. I am so excited to be here on this Father's Day, where we're going to be discussing the medicine of fatherhood. So, happy Father's Day. Happy, 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 joyous celebration day, Juneteenth. And happy World Sickle Cell Anemia Awareness Day. Welcome to this exciting 10-part series, season 9, episode 1, where we will have the opportunity to continue to meet many super friends and learn many different perspectives. And we will share about what it means to be weightless, reversing chronic illness, what it means to be light in spirit, in mind, in body. So we are so, so, so excited to welcome you. And today's episode is going to focus around the dynamic medicine of fatherhood, the dynamic medicine of fatherhood. But first, let's go ahead and let's listen to our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful music. Let's listen to that. Let's listen to that. Here we go.
Weightless, weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous. Courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing. Weightless. Open up your eyes, you were courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing.
Hello and welcome back. And we have a word from our sponsor.
Happy Father's Day. We proudly announce that one of our new sponsors for Weightless is Allsure Development of Shrewsbury, New Jersey. Allsure Development is a builder developer creating and enhancing homes and businesses on the Jersey Shore region. Season 9 of this dynamic podcast will bring some of Dr. Carol's super friends and thought leaders forward to shine light on the topics of the day. Once again, happy Father's Day.
What would you like to say to the dads out there?
You know, it's that silly quote, you know, love is like a candle. It does not lose anything by the people. You know, but you can't replace that relationship. You can't replace. And that's a lesson that I've been learning, you know, over and over and over again. You know, one of the benefits of having all of your grandparents and adults in your life from a very early age is that you get to know them all. But then you have to lose them all at some point. And be here, but also wouldn't be the person that I am without their influence and their time and their energy. It's like now it's become totally about the little things that I can no longer share, but that I know he would be interested in. It's now become totally about like these little moments of, man, dad would have really liked this. He would have loved to talk about this. He would have loved to have met this person. He would have loved to have seen how excited I am about having gray hair. Like, he would have loved that. And so now it's really about, like, the greatest gift that my dad gave me was something he always said. Especially when, like, I was really upset or angry with life and you know, the way things were going. He would always say, you know, kid, I was so excited when you were born because I got to be a dad. And I was so excited to meet you and see what you're going to be like. And I was also immediately really excited for you to be one. Not that I didn't love having a newborn, but I was really excited to see what you'd be like when you were one. And I was really excited to see what you'd be like when you were two, when you turn one. I was really excited to be like, and it continued. So I think that that's that kind of love from a father, from a parent, but that kind of love from a father was so spectacular because there was never, he never, every once in a while he'd say, I think you make a great stand-up. I'd be like, no, no, sir, I would not. But like, you know, every once in a while he would say stuff like that. But for the most part, it was just he, and of course, but in general, he was just always along for the ride. He was always along for the father to ride. He was influential and he, when I was younger, disciplined and he, you know, he did dad stuff too. But he was, he never.
So audience, we're going to do a little rewind with that because the video is actually rolling prematurely. We have a couple of other things before we introduce that beautiful and powerful clip and interview with Mr. Keita Omawale Erskine. So first, we are going to, so sometimes we just have to, we just have to, whoops, stop, rewind, or sometimes we have to let things go. And that's one that we want to stop and rewind and play from the beginning. We do have our fathers waiting backstage. So, but first to begin and to, I want to introduce that clip. That's important that that be introduced. However, before we step in, we would like to acknowledge that today's show is being held on the traditional lands of the Lanai Lenape peoples and pay our respect to elders both past and present. And I want everyone who's watching this morning to think about your elders, both past and present. I want you to think about your fathers or those who had were father-like figures, energetic imprints of the father. And I want you to drop those names in the chat as we call them forward. I have to honor my father on this day, my beautiful Black father, William Arthur Penn, and my grandfathers. I got to know both of my grandfathers as well, William Arthur Penn Sr. and George Harvey. Every community owes its existence and vitality to generations from around the world who contributed their hopes, dreams, and energies to making the history that led to this moment. Some were brought here against their will. Some were drawn to leave their distant homes in hopes of a better life. And some have lived on this land for more generations than can be counted. Truth and acknowledgement are critical to building mutual respect and connection across all barriers of heritage and difference. A message my own father taught me. And I want you to think about lessons that you learned from your fathers. Special guests, think about lessons you learned from your fathers or father-like figures as you get ready to bring your word to our gathered community here this morning. We remember those who lost their names through the crime of enslavement. Some were given names, but others were just listed in wills by their value, and we cannot know the names and those that love them would use. We honor them on this Father's Day and hold them in the light. So, to all of my fathers whose names I will never know, I honor you. I welcome you here this morning, as well as to those that I did know already named. We begin this effort to acknowledge what has been buried by honoring the truth. Yes, on this Juneteenth, on this World Sickle Cell Anemia Awareness Day, on this Father's Day, please take a moment to consider the many legacies of violence, displacement, migration, and settlement that bring us here today. And some of you, I know that your parents were immigrants here, as were Keita Omawale's grandparents. And please join us in uncovering these truths. So the clip that we are going to lead into was the interview between mother and son. So Keita Omawale Erskine, graduate of Frumson Country Day, the George School, attended Northwestern University, a writer, currently unemployed, living in the great city of New York. His dad passed away a year ago. So this is the second Father's Day without his father. And we just wanted to share, and he wanted to share some insight. So I'm inviting all of you, as well as our wonderful guest, just to take this in, to feel this, to experience this. And also go ahead, I'm inviting all of our audience this morning who's up with us or bright and early on this Father's Day to perhaps name your father if you'd like, or a father-like figure if you would like. So good morning and welcome. So please, if we could have...
What would you like to say to the dads out there?
You know, it's that silly quote, you know, love is like a candle. It does not lose anything by, you know, but you can't replace that relationship. You can't replace, and that's a lesson that I've been learning, you know, over and over and over again. You know, one of the benefits of having all of your grandparents and adults in your life from a very early age is that you get to know them all, but then you have to lose them all at some point. And be here, but also wouldn't be the person that I am without their influence and their time and their energy. It's like now it's become totally about the little things that I can no longer share, but that I know he would be interested in. It's now become totally about like these little moments of, man, dad would have really liked this. He would have loved to talk about this. He would have loved to have met this person. He would have loved to have seen how excited I am about having gray hair. Like, he would have loved that. And so now it's really about, like, the greatest gift that my dad gave me was something he always said, especially when, like, I was really upset or angry with life and you know, the way things were going. He would always say, you know, kid, I was so excited when you were born because I got to be a dad. And I was so excited to meet you and see what you're going to be like. And I was also immediately really excited for you to be one. Not that I didn't love having a newborn, but I was really excited to see what you'd be like when you were one. And I was really excited to see what you'd be like when you were two, when you turn one. I was really excited to be like, and it continued. So I think that's that kind of love from a father, from a parent, but that kind of love from a father was so spectacular because there was never, every once in a while he'd say, I think you make a great stand-up. I'd be like, no, sir, I would not. But like, you know, every once in a while he would say stuff like that, but for the most part it was just in general, he was just always along for the ride. He was always along for the father to ride. He was influential and he, when I was younger, disciplined and he did dad stuff too. But he never put anything on me. He was just always along for the ride. So that was really, really special. And if you have young children and you have a good sense of humor, I highly recommend telling the following joke. Whenever you pick your kids up from a friend's house or school and someone compliments you on your child's behavior, take your child's hand and say, and that's why you beat his ass, and walk away. Just leave.
Yes, indeed. So you're going to meet our first guest in a minute, Dr. Jarrett Patton, who is a father himself and has written a wonderful book. Whose badass kids are those anyway? So yes, I decided, having grown up being a child who got plenty of pow-pows. So yeah, I was spanked. Never by my father. My mom was the disciplinarian. And I decided I was never going to beat my children because I just never was going to do. And I kept that promise. I have never spanked or hit Keita Omawale or my child of my heart, my blended baby, Dima Afshi Jones. But I know that Keita's dad, he did get a few pow-pows from his dad. And he got more than a few pow-pows from my mom, who one day, because she knew of my decision, and so she called me up I was in medical school at the time, and she said, you know what? You might never let me take care of your son again, but I'm just leaving you this message, because when I hang up this phone, I am going to beat all the black off of this child. Click. And I knew that K-Tal was in for a spanking for whatever he had done in that moment. So let's bring on one of the world's greatest pediatricians, and in my opinion, one of the world's greatest dads. You met him a year ago on the Father's Day show. My friend, my colleague, Dr. Jarrett Patton. Dr. Jared, whose badass kids are those anyway? And happy Father's Day to you. And let's talk about fatherhood, and let's talk about discipline.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Carroll, for having me on the show. This is a wonderful day, and happy Father's Day to everyone. Even if you're a mother, even if you're not a mother, you can still have a happy Father's Day. We may be celebrating fathers today, but there's no reason for you not to have a happy Father's Day. And in the tradition of what you started this morning, I'd like to, you know, honor my father, Roy Lee Patton, as he, you know, took care of me my entire life. And, you know, the job of a parent is never done. And I'll give my past grandfathers who have passed now, but Willie, Roy Patton, as well as Emmett Hayes, and give them props on this Father's Day too, because it's this lineage that we have throughout the generations that share stories. And really, behavior and parenting is often, and most often, a direct result of our traditions as families. And so as we talk about discipline, for instance, Dr. Carroll, and we talk about whether we are spanking or hitting, or whether we were spanked as a child growing up, and even what I've learned as a pediatrician, you know, reasons why perhaps spanking is not the behavior modification of choice because of the trauma that it can instill. But a lot of times we don't know because, well, we take our parenting book by how we were parented ourselves, and we say, well, I didn't like when they did that, so I'm not going to do that. Or my parents never did this for me, so I'm going to do that for my kid. And we make modifications on that. And that's exactly why I wrote the book series, Whose Badass Kids Are Those?
I love that. And yes, it's so important, those energetic imprints, right? And I think it is important actually to learn how to parent, because sometimes we also do things that were done to us that we didn't like, but then when it's our turn, we continue those behaviors because that's how we were parented and that's how we were taught. So thank you so much for doing that and for offering that. And I hope that the parents out there, the fathers out there, will take advantage of your books and your book series and, you know, and say, you know, well, how can I shape this? Or even if you're not a parent, if you're not a dad, if you're not a mom, maybe you're an auntie, maybe you're an uncle. Maybe you know a child. So, you know, go ahead and get the book, share the book, pass it on so that we can all grow, right? We can grow our skill set in terms of parenting. We have another guest who's joining us this morning, a friend and colleague, Dr. Sunil Coriolis. I think Dr. Sunil, he's getting ready to come on, and we're going to meet him momentarily. And so I'm going to bring Dr. Sunil on because he was also a Father's Day guest a year ago. So we're going to say happy Father's Day. There's Dr. Sunil this morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carroll, for having me back on the show this morning.
Yes.
And I would be remiss not to take this opportunity to wish a happy Father's Day. I almost say birthday, but happy Father's Day to all the fathers, everyone, really. As Dr. Jared said, you know, who are really blessed to be here today on this wonderful day. Thank you again, Dr. Carol. It's really, truly a pleasure. I've always really have to go back to my dad on this day, who has really been able to bless me with all that I have, all that I am, and all I will continue to be. You know, on this day, I really honor him. And I want to also tell you, in terms of talking about discipline, you know, the real form of discipline that I think my dad was able to instill in me is that ability to develop that mental discipline, really to be able to stay mindful, that constantly renewing my mindset on a daily basis, just like I renew my body, I rest my body through sleeping. But every moment, every chance I get to renew my mindset, that will help me to be present and be able to fulfill my gifts to the world as I move forward, as not only as a father, but as a professional in my journey. But thank you again. This is a wonderful morning, wonderful time to be in here. Thank you, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you so much for being on today's show. So not only is Dr. Sunil Coriellis a father, he is also colleague and friend, and he is one of our nation's top cardiologists. So he takes care of matters of the heart. And it's not just the physical heart, but Dr. Coriellis is also tapped into the energetic imprints of the heart and what it means to love. And having a healthy heart is so key to the ability to be able to open that heart and extend love from that heart. So Dr. Coriellis, could you talk to us a little bit about your practice and the importance of taking care of our heart health? We got to get that word in. It's still up there as top killers in chronic illness that is both preventable, reversible, and treatable.
Indeed, Dr. Carol. For those of you in the audience who I have not met, I'm Dr. Sunil Coriellis. I am a board certified cardiologist. I'm the CEO of Suave Concierge. I help men, particularly those who are in the realm of entrepreneurship, really giving their gifts to the world. I help them to optimize their heart health so they can live a long and vibrant life and live their legacy. Really, it's about legacy. Heart health is about legacy. Because we hear a lot of times, Dr. Carol, one life was cut short. One mission, one vision, one gift to the world was cut short because of not being aware of heart issues or issues that impact the heart, and such that a lot of times we get so busy, so much into the trenches, that we don't take the time to acknowledge those factors that are affecting us. And even when our heart is telling us, hey, I am hurting here, you know, we don't take the time to listen to the subtle nuances until really that heart attack or that stroke takes place that can be devastating. So my mission, my goal is to really help those who are really at the top of the game, who are pushing what I call my Spartans. Spartans, those really who are really gifted individuals, to really get in the mindset, in the presence of really taking care of their heart health, on a daily basis. And it does not mean that you have to really change the world of in terms of what you do on a daily basis, but so much so just the small steps that you take in terms of what you're eating, being intentional about it, in terms of the movement, the exercises that you do, your sleep, being mindful of renewing your body, mind, and spirit. So those are the things that I practice, and those are the things that I instill into my cohorts of folks that I work with in my concierge practice on the one-to-one coaching session. So thank you again for bringing that up, because I believe that when we talk about the journey, our journey on Earth, what we are called to do, it all stems from the heart. It comes from our heart, having that drive, having that purpose. It's in your heart, right? So you have to nurture that gift, that purpose, that mission. And you have to also nurture your heart physically so that you are able to deliver on that is God has put in your heart to do. So it is such an interesting nuance, but it's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. And interesting enough, just a little caveat, a little tidbit for all. The first organ to be formed embryologically as we are, beginning at the start of our life is the heart. And it starts with your heartbeat. So be mindful of your heart. Be mindful of your heartbeat. Make sure that you take steps that are really able to continue to keep your heart beating in a healthy way. Thank you again.
So beautiful. And thank you for those reflections. And both of you, the work that you do as healers and as fathers, it's you're never not a dad, once you're a dad, and even in your work. And I know that both of you are heart-centered men and passionate men, and I've met your families, and you have such beautiful families, beautiful children, and it's been of such great value to my life to be a part of bearing witness to your lives and knowing you. It's been, so tremendously important. We see we just lost Dr. Jared. I hope that he'll be able to be back on. And we also, another guest, Thaddeus Gamery, who wasn't able to stay with us. He's on the way to a diversity in aquatics event, but I am going to, there he is back. We've got him back. So, Dr. Jared, I was just thanking you for being a part of my life. And also because I see in you as just incredibly beautiful Black men, I see and I feel my own father, that I was guided so strongly by my own father. And I appreciate you so deeply from that perspective, that you are here, that you are alive. One of our guests in the chat was commenting that it seemed like the Black men in her life all died prematurely. And I happen to know this person's father and brother, as they're, part of my childhood and my growing up experience here in Red Bank, New Jersey. So you all are really valuable to me and precious to me. And I know that in this country, you have the shortest lifespan of life expectancies. So even more precious, and I hope everybody that's watching and seeing and hearing this understands that when you see an African American man, a Caribbean American man, a man with a living in a Black or brown body, you are looking at the people in the United States with the shortest lifespan by a good 5 or 6 years. And there are reasons for that, but let me bring on one more guest who was going to be an appearance. I can't let this day go without bringing on my husband, Mr. DM Jones, poet, artist, head of this household and this beautiful blended family. Happy Father's Day, DM, and please share your reflections. I think you were hearing what I was saying, that as I bring you all in front of this audience, I just want people to look at your faces. Look at your faces. Hey, Beverly, good morning and welcome. And understand the price that they are being asked to pay, because it's costing them their life. It's costing them their life. They have the shortest lifespans of anybody here in the United States. And does that mean anything to anybody? Does that make a difference to anybody? DM, what does that mean to you? Happy Father's Day, darling.
Happy Father's Day and to all, especially Dr. Sunil, Dr. Jarrett. You know, but fatherhood to me, it's the best job ever. You know, we're gifted with these spirits that come forward and need guidance. So I remember, you know, accepting the wisdom sometimes a little more embracing than others from my father. And every time I had a little bit of a snit about how my father attempted to guide me, I said, you know what? I know what he's trying to say. I know what he's trying to accomplish. When I get my chance, I'm going to try it a little bit differently. But all, you know, all the lessons every day from my father, from my grandfather, guide me as I do the best I can of being a father and a stepfather to, you know, our wonderful boys, Keita and Dima, because, you know, what a challenge to, and what a gift to prepare the next wave, to think about all the things that, you know, that I could have done differently and, you know, try to, you know, pass the torch. So there is still light for tomorrow, because, you know, if we stop doing that, then we won't be here. And I'm just so grateful to be a father, to be a part of this time, to know as many fathers as I do, because we learn from each other. And, you know, happy to be here on this Father's Day. So thank you for having me on.
Well, you indeed are welcome. I know Dr. Jarrett is having a little bit of a challenges with connectivity. So we're just going to keep rolling. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sunil, I'm going to pass this next question back to you before we go to a little bit of another break for our sponsors. What do you think we can do as a collective community to, oh, here's Dr. Jarrett. There's Dr. Jarrett back. So the next question is, what do you think that we can do as a collective community so that your lifespans become equal to the lifespans of the longest lived people in the United States? What can we do to become, you know what? I would like to see, what can we do to become a blue zone people? You know, those spots in the world where people live to be, you know, 102, 105, 107, and then, you know, they just expire peacefully in their sleep. I would like to know, what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm tired of going to funerals of Black men. Most of my classmates that I thought my buddies were going to be my buddies and we were going to live to be old people together, you know, including the father of my son. But that's not the case. Most of my Black classmates and Hispanic classmates that are male have been dead, and they've been dead a long time. They died in their 50s. So what can we do to change that? Dr. Jarrett?
Yes. Well, one of the biggest things that I see in our community is all about generational trauma. And when we talk about our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, and going on, we leave a sense of institutional trauma because it's handed down through stories. I hear how my parents and grandparents and those before them grew up in Mississippi. Some of them were, you know, essentially, you know, you go far enough down the chain, they were abducted from Africa to Mississippi. And living with this trauma creates stress in your life. And any kind of stress in your life has negative effects on your health. And it, one of the key reasons is this generational trauma. And as we are telling our stories to our family, we need to keep all of those in mind so that we can start to take away some of that trauma as we take over our stories.
So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Dr. Sunul, I know your story is a little bit different as your family hails from the magnificent country of Haiti. And so the story of Haiti, as well as being an immigrant here to the United States, there's part of that generational, intergenerational trauma there. So maybe you can share some of that history and story with our audience today.
Yes, absolutely. I think I agree with Dr. Jared that carrying that stress from those experiences, those histories, the history of our family, of our ancestry and our country, it really can be a burden to our health and well-being. And so it's how we carry that burden that's really what determines our path forward in a healthy way. And so personally, being from Haiti, we do know that there's a long history there of slavery and really the fight for independence and all that went through that. And really, even to the past century, with having a dictatorship, and we had the fight to, you know, outcast the dictator, you know, and then, you know, finally we became, the country became independent, and there was more turmoil to be having, right? And so that can be a lot of stress to be for people to bear, especially as you're growing up as a young boy, learning it and being part of it. That can be easily part of who you are, right? And what I say is really the history can be a burden to our health, but also can be a force to our backbone to help propel us forward. It's really embrace. So my take on it is really embrace who we are, accept what we have been dealt with, because those histories, those experiences are there to help mold us into who we are to become. And so much get us ready for the task ahead. And when you do that, you accept yourself for who you are, you feel like you are prepared, you're good enough. And now you're ready to really be part of a community, build a community around you, because you no longer feel that you have fear. You have you're carrying a burden with you, but so much now you are embracing people who have shared experiences, make them part of your inner circle that's going to help you to live that life that you are creating, and make it forward in a healthy way. Whereas when you're doing it yourself, when you're carrying that stress, it really robs you of your precious moments and your health in the process. So embrace who you are. Embrace your history. Make your history part of who you are and make a path forward.
Yeah, so I'd like to challenge, you know, all of our audience as we share this, as people listen to this as a podcast, to embrace your history and also to learn our history. Our history. So I'm glad to see Thaddeus has just rejoined us. He's popped back on, so we're going to bring him on in a moment. So Thaddeus, we're talking about learning our history. We're actually talking about making this a blue zone so that African American men, Hispanic men won't be the shortest lived demographic in the United States. And that just came to me this morning. You know, maybe we'll call it the black zone. I don't know. But I think when I think about reparations, when I think about what needs to be made whole again, one of the things that I'm dedicated to honor my black father and grandfathers and multicultural fathers, white fathers, is to make whole and restore your longevity. You need to be able to be here. You need to be able to be alive. I was sharing that I've gone to so many funerals, some starting in my 50s, and that my colleagues, males, that I went to high school with, most of them have died at this point. So, Thaddeus, welcome, welcome, welcome. Retired New York City police lieutenant, aquatics master, Blue Mindfulness founder. I'm telling you, Dr. Jaron and Thaddeus, y'all at the beach. I'm feeling a little something here this morning. And then we will go to a break from our sponsor. We'll lead into DM in a moment. I'll hide everybody backstage when we do that. So Thaddeus, welcome. Good morning. We're glad that you arrived at the beach. And just, you know, happy Father's Day to you. Let's bring you in. Let's hear some thoughts and words from you, Thaddeus, about Father's Day, about parenting, about wanting to create a blue zone for Black men. Anything that you'd like to share this morning?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I'm honored and appreciative to being on this experience with you all on this Father's Day, on this Juneteenth weekend. I'm at the historically Black beach, the Dr. Von D. Mizell and Eula Johnson Clark State Beach outside of Dania Beach, Florida, part of Fort Lauderdale. We can see the airport from here. And we are celebrating Juneteenth for Joy, a celebration in mind, body, and spirit. And this experience actually has its foundation in a mindfulness, a community of practice mindfulness that we started a year and a half ago, where we were so impacted by the events of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, that we needed a space to come where we could heal and we can take care of ourselves. And I was very intentional that I needed to take care of myself as well. Also after the traumatic injury of my own son during those protest times. And I said, we need to be the example of taking care of ourselves that we want others to be. And we have a collection of organizations and people that come here every Sunday to practice a self-care mindfulness practice. And it was very well received and has grown. It's been on PBS, South Florida PBS. We've had a collection of other organizations supporting it and coming in and doing special events with us, a beach cleanup. But it's always grounded in the healing power of water. Water is our medicine and we are water. And we have connected to this water in ways to help us heal from losses and upsets and traumas, whether personal, family. We have
people that come this morning to do an early a meditation, a celebration of the life of a father who was lost last year. We have people who have lost children. And this is this space where we come on a weekly basis. And this special event is grounded in the ancient African traditions of creating community and family for healing. And I'm part of that community. I'm grateful that I had a chance to initiate it because of my aquatic background. I'm grateful that I had a chance to benefit from it because of my personal adverse childhood experiences growing up in the South Bronx, and also witnessing my own father who had his upsets and traumas and upsets, and he brought us to the water to heal. He brought me to the water after my grandmother passed, and I didn't really understand it, but I felt it at the time, and I just continued it. And I was only 6 years old when my grandma passed, and he would come to the beach and bring me. Sometimes he only brought me, and we would watch the sunset, and he would fish. And he was from a fishing culture. His parents, my grandparents, were born in Grenada and Trinidad and were water people, had a fishing and a boating culture. And I learned that from him. And he was full of life and full of wanting to connect with community and family, and to talk about the history and talk about all that is essential to really being a fully developed person. I didn't always embrace it as a young child, even as a young man, but later on I did. And now I'm actually, it's living through me. His legacy, he passed 10 years ago, and his legacy is living through me and my brothers and my sisters. So sorry I didn't get on earlier. We had a bad internet connection, but now that we're connected. And also, I just want to, if you could see behind me, there's a row of names on behind me displaying different cities in Fort Lauderdale or towns that were historically Black. And those cities and towns, the elders are coming to be interviewed and to speak about their experiences, whether it's related to achieving this access to water through this historically Black beach and the protests that had to be done to achieve it, or their own personal experiences as some of the original settlers of this county, and actually to help build Broward County. And I will conclude there. And thank you for having me, and happy Father's Day to everyone. And thank you, Dr. Carol Penn, for all the good work you do.
Oh, thank you so much. So yes, bravo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thaddeus and I have been working together since 2018 through his program, through the Center for Mind-Body Medicine. We have some of our colleagues that are watching here this morning. We're grateful to all of you. So thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you for doing what you're doing down there in Broward on the beach and taking us to the water. And as that Negro spiritual wade in the water, which was a code song, it was a code song. And when you heard the words, you knew it was time for you to get in the water so you couldn't be detected by the slave catchers and by the bounty hunters. It was used by Harriet Tubman to tell her people to come into the water, arms up. They couldn't swim, but they had to have that trust, that blind faith, if they were going to make it north to escape the racial injustices and the racialized terror of the South. So we're going to wade in the water this morning down in Broward County. So we're going to have a word from our sponsor right now, and then we are going to be right back on. And I'm hoping you're paying attention to the ticklers as they go across the bottom of the screen so you can reach out to our guests. So DM, if you could switch into your other role, please, and bring us a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
We'd like to thank Allshore Development of Shrewsbury, New Jersey, as one of our sponsors today. Allshore Development is a builder-developer creating and enhancing homes and businesses in the Jersey Shore region. This is season 9. We'd like to just reiterate that we have changed the name of this podcast. It's now Weightless with Dr. Carol Penn, and you can go to anchor.com to download the podcast or to our YouTube channel. And, you know, we really are grateful for you for joining us today. And again, happy Father's Day to the fathers on this show and the fathers in the audience and all of us who make this village of being parents. It does take a village to build our communities. So thank you for joining us today. And back to Dr. Carol Penn with Weightless.
Yes, and we're going to wrap up the show this morning. We're going to give good morning, Victoria. We are going to give our guests an opportunity to share what's coming up for them in their lives, their practices, their events, just as we heard from Thaddeus. And Victoria, I will see you in Delaware to celebrate Tecito later this afternoon on this beautiful day. There we go. Dr. Coriolis, I'm going to add you to the screen. There we are. So first, Dr. Jarrett, you have got a conference coming up. Tell us about License to Live, please.
I do. Great. Thank you, Dr. Carol. Live and in person in Philadelphia, we are having License to Live, the conference. It is a conference designed for those of you that are frustrated in your job positions, you're not being treated right in your workforce, or maybe you just want to reinvent yourself in a new career, License to Live is the place to be. And you can find more information about that at licensetolive.com. And today, in honor of Father's Day and parenting, I'll give a story of my own parenting life. And many of you are looking at me, well, hey, you're a behavioral expert, you're a pediatrician, you know everything there is about parenting. And yes, I do know a lot about parenting, but parenting is a journey that we must take every single day. And I can recall a day when I was shopping for some ties for a presentation that I was giving upcoming. And my youngest son was with me. He was probably 8 or 9 years old at the time. And we were wandering through the area and I was looking at some ties and he was just kind of looking at the stuff around me. And he turned over and looked at me as he was looking at these nice belts that were hanging on a rack and said, "Hey, Dad, these are great belts to whoop me with." And I turn around and I look at him. Needless to say, I've never beat that child in my life. And then I looked around and I see a lady who was looking at some ties and some belts. And then she looks over at me like this. And there were some other people there. It looked like they were pulling out their phone about to dial 911. And I'm just sitting here and saying, "Son, yes, they're fine belts to hold up your pants, but there won't be any whipping with these belts." And I had to just carry on. And regardless of what these other people may have assumed, with a large 6'5", overpowering figure next to my small son at the time. But I will say this, you will never know what you get every day in your parenting journey. So enjoy that ride every day. And happy Father's Day to everyone out there today.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Jarrett. Yes, I know what it's like to be parented by a tall, beautiful Black man. My daddy was 6'4". My husband's been 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", and maybe now 6'4". And, you know, the boys are over 6 feet tall. So thank you for being larger than life in so many ways. You are extremely important to me, and you are of great value. Dr. Sunil, what's coming up in your life?
Dr. Carol, we are always working, constantly working on trying to keep our man alive with a strong and healthy heart. And so on this day of Father's Day, I would like to encourage everyone to grab a copy of my best-selling book that came out a couple months ago, Healing the Spartan. A breakthrough plan for heart health and longevity. And this book is really for, again, all those men and women who are hard at work, who are really driven and passionate about their God-given gift, and so that they can be aware of those steps, of those changes, minor as it may be, that they can make in their lifestyle on a day-to-day basis in order to build their legacy in a healthy way. So the book can be found on my website at Dr. Koyelis. It's www.drkoryelis, DrCorrielus. Thank you.
Yes, wonderful. And you can see Dr. CorrielusCardiology.com. DM, what's coming up in your life? I think you have a book coming out, and we have about 1 minute, so go.
Yes, I do. In September, on Cedar Grove Publishing, my book, which is an anthology, God, the Inside Story, will be released in September. I've gathered 16 voices to share what the inside journey is for them. So I'm really proud of the book. The collection of voices include musicians, writers, religious leaders from different faiths, and an accountant. You know, what does it mean to you? Not particularly, this isn't a time to go to church, but a time to look at that spirit, to look at that inner voice that guides us all. So stay tuned. God, the Inside Journey will be here in September, Cedar Grove Publishing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Today is Juneteenth. Today is also World Sickle Cell Awareness Day. We don't have the fullness of the time to give all the attention we need to give to those two important topics, but we will. We will do a show dedicated around Juneteenth. I mean, hey, you know, it's like Emancipation Proclamation occurred in 1863. Word purposely did not be released in Texas until 1865. We will learn about the history of that. But today is a day of celebration. Today is a day about, learning and considering, what does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be free? So happy Juneteenth, happy Father's Day, happy World Sickle Cell Anemia Day. I'm going to play us out. I love you, Dr. Koryelis. I love you, Dr. Patton. And DM, my darling, I love you. Black men, fathers of the world, fathers of humanity, fathers of my heart, I honor you on this day. And thank you to everyone who joined us this morning. All right, here we go. Till next week.
Weightless, weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous. Courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing. Weightless. No matter what people say, you're full of greatness. Time you open up your eyes, you walk away. Just if only they could see it going through your paces. It's amazing. Weightless. You're full of greatness. Time you opened up your eyes, you were courageous. If only they could see you going through your paces. It's amazing.
All right, everybody. So if you gentlemen maybe co-process a little bit, Kenya is still on. I've got to do a quick change and get to my next engagement. But, you know, thank you. Thank you so much. A little glitch in the beginning, but the magic of editing. We can, edit that part out. But, yes, and no, happy Father's Day. And I just want the world to know how magnificent. And I'll never, on this day, I found a letter. So I did my very first Facebook Live on this day in 2018. Didn't know what I was doing, but Dr. Dre had said, go do it, right? So I did it. But before I went on, I found a letter from my father written to me in the mid-1980s. And it really was a love letter from a father to a daughter. And at the end of the letter, he said, darling, I want you to know that you are magnificent. And so I just pass that on and share that with, you know, the magnificence of Black fatherhood and Black men. You know, that's my story and that's my energetic imprint. And I don't think it's a story that can be told enough about, you know, Black love and when a Black man is in balance and living and loving from such a powerful perspective. So that's what I got to say. And I'm going to go get changed, darling. I will leave you too. And yes. Oh, so people are texting. They really enjoyed the show. They really enjoyed it. All right. So you two chat for a while. I'm out. Or Kenya, if you want to chime in so we just get those notes, I got to quickly make a quick change here. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes.
All right, brother. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you. And thank you for doing all that you're doing. And of course, of being a great dad.
Yes, sir. Likewise. I know you.